For each and every one of us in life, there comes times when there are decisions that we have to make that are critical decisions along the way. For some of us, there are situations that deal with career. They have long-term ramifications. And we find ourselves at a crossroad where we have to make a decision about what the future is or so many other things along the way, but they're critical decisions. Now, as we continue our look at the Exodus, in the book of Exodus, we come to this point, and we're going to go over a little bit of what we went over last week, because I think this is just so critical when it comes down to our spiritual lives. But it comes to the point where God is telling the people to prepare the Passover lamb. There are so many parallels between that and what Jesus Christ is for you and I today, but it calls for some action by us. The same way that it did back in the days of Exodus, there was something that the people had to do. And today, you and I, when it comes down to salvation, there is still something that God asked us to do. So grab your Bible, come on back. In just a minute, we're going to be looking at the book of Exodus chapter 12, discussing feeding on the lamb. See you in just a minute. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible Study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. Trust and pray that your day has gone well, and that we're just grateful that you're joining us as we gather around the Word today. I mentioned a moment ago we're going to be looking at passages that come out of the book of Exodus chapter 12, so you can go ahead and turn on over there if you would like. But this is getting to the point where God is beginning some action towards the liberation of Israel. And, you know, Pharaoh has still been doing his thing about, you know, not adhering to letting the people go. There's still been miracles that have been taking place. But God is getting the people ready to be delivered. He's getting ready to bring them out of Egypt to the land that he had promised. And this all culminates into a time that was a historical time back in Egypt, and still a historical time as you and I look at it in God's Word today. We're going to talk today about the preparation for the Passover. Now, yeah, you've been reading Exodus chapter 12, and one of the things that you find is that following where God gave them what they must do to prepare for this Passover, what it was all about was that he said, you know, he's going to go through essentially all of Egypt that night, and he would be looking for the mark of the blood on the doorpost and on the header of the doors. Now, if the Israelites were essentially obedient to what it was that God had told them to do, then the death angel would pass over. You get it? The Passover. So that said, these were folks who were believers in what God could do. These folks were going to be the ones that God would say, these are my people. I am going to pass over them. I'm not going to take their firstborn. Now, you can see the parallel between that happening in the Old Testament and what we see today as Christ. Jesus Christ is our lamb. He was our sacrifice, the one and only that we need, simply because he was the perfect sacrifice. So God was beginning to lay down the parallels, not only of what he would do for them, but what he would do for us in the future through his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. So let's talk a little bit about feeding on the lamb, past and present, as we explore Exodus chapter 12. So look with me, if you would, Exodus chapter 12, and we're actually going to begin reading at verse 8. Exodus chapter 12, beginning with verse 8, it says, "Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boil it at all with water, but roast in fire its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning, you shall burn it with fire. And thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we're grateful and thankful for this opportunity that you give us. Lord, I pray that you would just help us as we gather around your word, Lord, to see the value of what took place and what you did for your children back in the days of the Exodus. But Lord, help us to also be able to make that parallel today with what Jesus Christ has done for each and every one of us and how he delivers us in the same way that you delivered your children, Israel, back in the days to free them from bondage. So Lord, I pray that you would be with me as your speaker for these moments. Help me, Father, to be able to lift you up that you might truly draw all men unto you as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, so, you know, what's happening is this is Christ telling them, here are the directions, or excuse me, this is God telling them, here are the directions for how you will prepare this Passover. You know, he had some specific instructions, but giving specific instructions also required specific obedience. This is how they were to do this. Now, God would know back then in the same way that God knows today whether or not we have followed his instructions. And all of this was preparation because this was an important decision, an extremely important decision. I mean, imagine if you were one of the firstborn in a family and the family was saying, well, I'm not going to mess with that foolishness. I'm not going to do that. And then, of course, that night, the death angel passed through and took the firstborn of all of Egypt and all those who did not have the mark of the Passover, which was the blood on the doorpost and the blood on the headers of the door. So, I mean, it's critical. That was a critical decision in the same way that salvation, belief in Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary's cross through his death, burial, and resurrection. You can see the parallels between those two because there is a reckoning day that is going to be coming. And Jesus knows those who are marked by his blood. God Almighty knows that. And those are the ones that will be spared. Those are the ones who were born again. Those are the ones who were believers. Those are the ones who, whatever term you want to use, but they're covered by the blood of the Lamb and forgiven their sins. So that's a critical decision that you and I need to make today. You know, have you trusted in Christ, or are you just going to let that go? And I will promise you this. If you just let that go on by, if you let the conviction in this day and age of the Holy Spirit go by, if you don't give your heart to Christ, then you have put yourself in a very vulnerable position, and because of that, there are consequences. Now, we know from what the Word tells us that to leave this world without Christ means everlasting life in hell, the place that burns with fire and brimstone forever. So do not miss out on the most critical decision that you will ever make in your life. So what was this done for? This was done back in the days of Exodus so that the slaves might be free, and they would be free by the blood of the Lamb. You know, the firstborn of Egypt were going to die that night. The firstborn of Israel would be spared, but they would be spared only by the sprinkling of the blood. So that is a critical, critical factor. It was critical then. It is critical toward our salvation today. Now, the ones who would be delivered were also, according to the instructions that we're reading in our text today, they were also to eat that lamb. I like to call it this: they were to feed on the lamb. You're going to understand that parallel here shortly because we're going to break it down a little bit more. But they were to feed on the lamb for a couple of reasons, as we look at it, the Lord told them, you're actually going to eat this lamb that's going to be roasted. The blood is going to be the mark on the doorpost and the header, but you will eat this lamb. So what was that symbolic of? See, they were to feed on the lamb for strength. Notice he says, and they shall eat the flesh in that night. The meat of the lamb was to give them strength, physical strength. This would be a very stressful night. I could imagine the screams that were heard that night as people huddled in their homes, even the ones that were obedient, the ones who had partaken of the lamb, the ones who marked the doorpost in the head. I could imagine the screams that filled the streets that night as that death angel passed through, claiming, you know, the firstborn of those of Egypt. Could you imagine how stressful that? We talk about how stressed out we are today with things that are going on. Could you imagine what that must have been like? So they needed to feed on the lamb for physical strength. There were many difficulties that were going to lie ahead for Israel on this journey. It was going to be a tough journey, and they would need strength for this journey. I've used that term so many times, it just it reminds me of so many things. We need strength for the journey. We need spiritual strength. We need physical strength. So the Lord was providing for them in a way that they would have, as they fed on the lamb, they would actually have physical strength for this journey. You and I feed on the lamb by talking to God and taking in God's word. You know, when we sit back, you know, it's so funny because so many people I've heard in my life and in my ministry have talked about, well, I'm not getting fed. Well, you pick up your spoon. It's right here. Pick up your piece of steak and begin to feed on it. That's how you and I today feed on the lamb, by taking in his word and by communicating with him through prayer. So you know what? If you were missing meals, breakfast, lunch, and supper, in the same manner that you're missing spiritual meals in God's word and through prayer, how strong would you be? You know, so many times people sit back and say, well, you know, I'm just weak. I'm not doing well in this particular area. Well, are you feeding on the lamb? Are you getting into his word? Are you speaking with him in prayer? Because Christ strengthens us for every task. I love Philippians 4:13, and most of us know that by heart, but Philippians 4:13 tells us, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, folks, you're going to have to be in him. That's where our strength as believers comes from, as we feed on the lamb. So as we feed on the lamb, and in this particular case, they were provided physical strength, number one, but they were also to feed on the lamb for spiritual depth. You know, many lessons are connected with this particular meal that we're reading about in the book of Exodus today. But the lamb, the instructions said that the lamb was to be roasted with fire. Now, fire speaks of judgment. I think we mentioned this last week. You know, we've heard that statement before, that we're tried by fire, because fire not only is something that affects, but fire also is something that purifies. It says the lamb was to be roasted with fire. This is speaking spiritually and metaphorically of judgment that was to come. All of Egypt was under judgment that particular night. Yeah, the Lord told them what was going to take place. He told them what was going to happen. Yet Israel's judgment had fallen on the lambs. Right? You see, that's the cool part when you look at this particular story. He said, God told them, he said, my judgment is going to fall on the lamb tonight for those of you who believe and for those of you who act. But for all of Egypt, that wasn't going to be so. Yeah? Israel's judgment had fallen on the lamb, whereas Egypt's had not. So think about that today when we consider our salvation. Yet, so many times, maybe you've heard the old preacher say before, we are covered by the blood of the lamb. And we sing those songs. We sing those spiritual hymns in church talking about the blood of the lamb. We also know that the word tells us without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So the blood is still the critical component for our forgiveness today. We have to accept the shed blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. We have to accept that he took all of our sins, past, present, and future, onto Calvary's cross. And like I said, Christ had not been born yet at this time that we're reading in the book of Exodus. So God was using the animal sacrifices and telling them how to prepare them based on the fact that Christ later on down the road would come and be the perfect once for one and all sacrifice for each and every one of us. So Israel's judgment had fallen on the lamb, not on them in particular, because the lamb took the cost, okay? Christ is our lamb. He is the one who is bearing our judgment. He did that on the cross, and he conquered it at that particular point. Now, we also read that they were to eat unleavened bread during this time. Now, leaven in the Bible, and of course, many people sit back and say, leaven? We talk about leaven. It talks about yeast. And if you've ever been around grandma's kitchen before or mama's kitchen, when bread's being made, the way you get the dough to rise is you put yeast in it, okay? Well, yeast and leaven are synonymous. Now, leaven in the Bible speaks of evil. You know, that evil that gets in there, you know, like the old expression says, a little leaven, and leavening's the whole loaf. It just takes a little bit and it spreads to the, you know, to the whole thing. But leaven in the Bible speaks of evil, and all evil must be put away from Israel. In the same way that all evil must be put away from you and I. We cannot continue down a path or a road of sin. I mean, obviously, we know that in our day and age, through Jesus Christ, there is forgiveness. But yet we can't just sit back and say, well, you know what, I'm just going to keep on going out and sinning because all I got to do is go ask Jesus for forgiveness. Well, I'm not saying Jesus doesn't forgive, but what I am telling you is this. That's not true repentance. I think where there's repentance, there is forgiveness. Repentance means a turning away from that sin and not just sitting back going, well, I can just go do whatever I want to do because the Lord's going to forgive me of it. Now, I call that beating up God's grace, and we should never do that. Even Paul said in his word, he said, you know, because the Lord forgives me, does that mean that I should just go out and do whatever I want and sin and be that way and come to him? He says, no, that's not what it's designed for. That's not what we should do. We should repent and turn away from that. So they were to eat unleavened bread, meaning there was no evil as it was represented back in that day as part of that bread. Now, the meal also contained bitter herbs. This was to remind them of the bitterness of bondage. You know, so many times people sit back and say, well, you know what, that, you know, I know the Lord forgave me of those days of the past. I just want to forget them. I think sometimes having a little bit of memory about what took place in the past goes a long way in our current walk and in our future walk. Now, why is that? Because I think sometimes we need to sit back and consider what the Lord has saved us from, what he has forgiven us from, all of the things that we had done in the past, the death and hell that we deserve, but yet by the grace of God, he has chosen to forgive us. So the meal, as they were going to have that Passover meal that night, contained bitter herbs, reminding them of the days of bondage, reminding them of the days that they were the servants to the Egyptians. And it reminds us, today it should remind you and I of the suffering of Christ. I was mentioning this to somebody this past week as we were having conversation. I said, I remember when the movie The Passion of the Christ came out. And the effect that that had on so many people, and I think the reason it had that effect was because maybe for the first time in a lot of people's lives, they had a visual picture of the intense suffering that Jesus Christ went through on Calvary's cross for each and every person. I mean, Jesus almost looking unrecognizable through the beatings that he had taken. And this was Hollywood's depiction of what it was like. I'm sure that in reality, it was much worse than that. And I think that for the first time, people got a real picture of the type of suffering that Christ went through, and the Holy Spirit convicted the hearts and lives to say, you know what, Jesus did that specifically for you. Meaning, if you were the only person left on the face of this planet, Jesus still would have taken that beating. He still would have gone to Calvary's cross. He still would have gone through that grave and resurrected, and he would have done that all for you if you were the only person in the world. Man, that should make somebody feel special. If you ever get to the point where you don't feel like you are anything, remember that. Remember what I just told you. If you were the only person on the face of this planet, Jesus Christ would have still gone through that suffering for you. Now remember, that those bitter herbs contained in that Passover meal were representation of that bitterness of bondage, the bitterness of sin, the cloak that they were under prior to being delivered by Christ. Then he went on and gave some more instructions in the meal where he said, don't eat it raw or don't even think about, you know, cooking it, or I guess the term they use in the King James is nor sodden at all with water. This lamb must feel the heat. And that speaks of God's wrath. When you think about it, there had to be a price that had to be paid. In the Old Testament days, it was when the animals lost their lives as sacrifices to be sacrificed to the Almighty. In my day, in your day, it is Jesus Christ who was our once for one and all sacrifice. But he had to feel the heat. Man, he felt all the pain that was associated with this crucifixion. He felt everything, he felt the pain of those spikes going through his hands and through his feet. He felt the pain of that spear. He felt the pain of that crown of thorns. He felt the pain of that cat of nine tails as he was unmercifully whipped and beaten on the way to Calvary's cross. He took every bit of sin upon him, and I like to kind of bring this in as a historical fact as well. You know that one of the gospel accounts of the crucifixion talks about when they offered Christ, and they call it wine or vinegar that was mingled with, I believe it was myrrh. Well, this was designed to be something to deaden the sensation. And when Jesus, it says Jesus did not partake of that. He was like, no, I'm not going to do that. In other words, it was like, you know, I'm not going to do anything, number one, to not feel the full wrath of the pain of sin. But number two, I'm also not going to do anything that would allow the suffering to go on even longer. You see, they would try to give somebody being crucified this concoction so that it would dull the pain a little bit and make the crucifixion last even longer. And Jesus took no part of any of that. But the biggest part of it was he was taking every ounce of pain, every ounce of heat of sin he was taking upon himself when he went to Calvary's cross. The Lamb must feel the heat, and that is speaking of God's wrath towards sin. God hates sin, folks. It breaks his heart, and there had to be a payment for that. Christ has taken that heat. He has taken that beat. He's taken all of that for us, and he has done it in full force. And another thing is that I like to look at it in this regard. He said, you don't use water on it, but he said that speaks another message to me by saying the message of the gospel for us today, the message for them in the day of the Exodus was not to water down the message of God Almighty, not to water down who he is. And, you know, unfortunately, I see a lot of that in our modern day and age. It's like, let's water it down. Let's not be offensive. Now, folks, I want to tell you something. According to the Word of God itself, the gospel is offensive to those who don't want any a part of it. Yeah, so, you know, it is going to be offensive. When you stand up and you proclaim Jesus Christ and when you preach the gospel, it is going to be offensive to those who are lost. It is going to be offensive to those who don't want to hear it. We must not water down the message of salvation in our day and age. It could not be watered down back then. That was what God was telling them when he said, nope, it's going to be the full brunt of the heat of what's taking place. It's not going to be watered down. And then he went on to say this in regard to that meal. He said, let nothing remain. In other words, clean your plate. You need to finish the sacrifice, because this was going to be the finishing. It was representation of the finishing work that would later come through Jesus Christ, but it was representation of God's finishing a work, or was going to finish a work in them, okay? So they were to feed on the Lamb. They were also to feed on the Lamb for service, okay? Our text talks about how they were to eat this meal. It's really interesting what he said. You know, he said, this is how you're going to come to the table to eat this meal. Let me just take you over to that particular passage. It's actually verse 11, and it says this. It says, and thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. So he tells them, here's how I want you to show up for that meal that night. They were to show up with their loins girded, you know, ready to go where the Lord would lead them, being prepared at a moment's notice. You know, I look at this particular passage and I think so many times of how, you know, this is a repetitive theme throughout the Word of God, that we need to be ready. He says, you need to be ready to go when the Lord leads and when the Lord's called. So he says, you need to have your loins girded. He also says that you're to have your shoes on your feet. In other words, when the Lord comes, it's not, oh, hang on, I got to get my shoes on. There's no delays. You are ready to go at that moment's notice. He says, you're also to partake of this meal with a staff in your hand, okay? The reason why, you know, when you think about it, they would be strangers on their way. You and I are strangers today. We are pilgrims. We are sojourners. This world is not our home. So we're passing through on our way to our heavenly home. So the Lord said, be ready. Have your loins girded. Have your shoes on your feet. Have your staff in hand so that you might be ever ready at a moment's notice when the Lord leads. Is that not what he tells you and I today when it specifically comes down to salvation? Yeah, have you trusted him? Are you ready to go? We use terms like, you know, have you got your ticket punched? Are you ready so that when the Lord shows up? Yeah, I'm often reminded when I think about this of the parable of the 10 virgins. You know, the five that were prepared and the five that were not. And then what happened was they were just sitting around there essentially being lazy and doing nothing. They had not come prepared. And then when the bridegroom actually showed up, you know, they didn't have any lamp for their oils. And then they asked those who had, well, give me some of yours. And they said, no, we can't give you some of ours. If we give you some of ours, then we might not have enough to be able to have light for all of us. You know, you should have properly prepared. And it says, you know, so when they go out to buy, buy the oil for their lamps, by the time they get back, bridegroom's there, wedding started, and they're shut out. They're locked out. Folks, how many times have you heard me or other preachers or somebody godly in your life say to you, you need to be prepared because at any moment the trumpet could sound. At any moment the dead in Christ could rise and the rest of us be caught up together to meet them in the air. Yeah, how many times have they said to you, you know what, you could go out and get in your automobile and be in an accident and be gone from this old world in a snap of a finger. The question is, are you ready? Are you prepared to be able to leave this world and spend eternity in heaven? If you're not, I am begging and pleading that you make that decision today. In the same way, back in the days of the Exodus, they had to make a decision. They were either going to follow the instructions and follow this Passover meal, put the blood on the doorpost and on the header, and the death angel would pass them by, or they would choose not to do that, at which point the death angel would come by and take their firstborn. And that's exactly what happened. Too many people don't believe those things are going to happen. Folks, I am here to tell you, in accordance with the Word of God, those are the next thing to happen. People say to me all the time, well, I'm a good person, and God wouldn't send a good person to hell. My response is always this. God doesn't send anyone to hell. You choose where you're going to go. You choose whether you're going to believe in Christ and spend eternity in heaven or whether you're going to reject him and spend all of eternity in hell. So number one, he doesn't just send people arbitrarily off to hell. And number two, he has told us that the keys to the kingdom of heaven are not in being a good person. That's not saying that you shouldn't do that. By following the Lord's word, you will become a good person. But he says, you know what? His deal is simply this. You need to trust me. You need to believe in what I did on Calvary's cross. You need to believe I can forgive your sin. You need to believe that I can save your soul. You need to believe that what I did on Calvary's cross has paid the price for you. Those are the people who will be going to heaven. I like what one of the latest memes that's going around says this. It's got a little girl and she's pointing and she says, you don't have to worry about dying because you're going to live forever. The only choice is location, location, location. Have you trusted in Christ? Listen, if you haven't, it's so important that you don't need to delay. It is so important that whatever you're doing right now, you need to stop and just simply say, Lord, I believe in what you accomplished on Calvary's cross. Lord, I am a sinner. I'm asking you to forgive my sin and save my soul. And I'm asking in Jesus' name, amen. Now, folks, I'm going to promise you, if you did that, and you meant it with all your heart, that's the first step. The Lord has heard your prayer. But it's not just a checkbox. He wants you as one of his children to start feeding on the Lamb, to get into his word, to walk in his ways, to be an instrument in his hand. And what a glorious, glorious, I call it ride that is on this earth. I've never had any regrets in following my Lord and Savior, not a single one. So the question is, are you ready for the meal? He's putting it out there. You're listening to me preach a message. You've listened to me preach messages on salvation. And now, if you've trusted Christ, he says this, you need to be ready. Are your loins girded? Are your shoes on your feet? Is your staff in hand that you're ready to make that journey into the presence of God? Or if it's not into the presence of God, it could be that he's preparing you for a journey in a way to be able to use you here on this earth and here in this life. Are you ready for that? Or are you one that says, yes, Lord, here am I, send me. Because you and I must also obey those marching orders that the Lord has given us. You know, the marching orders of being ready, having your shoes on your feet, and having your staff in hand. He's given those orders to you and I as well. You know, there are lands to conquer and there are people to reach. And God is still using his people to reach those around him. He wants to use you in the sphere of influence and where you are. You're not where you are by accident. You don't have the coworkers you have by accident. You don't have the neighbors that you have by accident. All of this has been planned by God, and He has placed you strategically there. The question is, are you being a good witness for Him? You know, the second question I asked you today is simply this. Are you feeding on the Lamb? If not, then here, let me make you this one promise. You will be weak. You will not have strength for the journey. You need to feed on the Lamb. You need to start feeding on Jesus. You need to get in His Word. You need to seek Him in prayer. And I love what the Word says. The Word says, if you seek, you'll find. If you knock, it will be opened unto you. And man, when you start to get on that journey, I love watching a new Christian who is seeing the realities of God's Word and what God wants to do so fresh and so new that, man, they can't wait. I mean, they can't wait to get in God's Word. They can't wait to spend that time with Him in prayer because all the wonderful things that God is telling them and showing them along the way. And I hope that my prayer is that it's that way for you and I, that we can't wait to get into His Word, that we can't wait to feed on the Lamb and grow in His grace and His strength and be prepared for the journey that is coming. Folks, there's journeys right now in this life, but there's the journey on the way to heaven as well. Are we prepared for both of those? Let me make you this promise. Christ will be adequate for the most difficult journey, whether it's our horizontal journey here on earth or our vertical journey on our path to heaven. Are you feeding on the Lamb? I want to encourage you to do that. Let me have a word of prayer with you, and then I'll tell you about what we're going to be looking at next week, okay? Father, we come to you now just thanking you for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that makes salvation possible for each and every one of us. Lord, I pray that as you offer that opportunity to each and every person that's within the sound of my voice, Lord, I pray that if they haven't trusted you, that this very moment will be the time when they give their life over to you. Lord, I pray that you will help them, not only the one who has just trusted you, Father, but those who have followed you for years and years. Help us, Lord, to be healthy, spiritually healthy on our journey. Help us, Lord, to feed on your word. Lord, help us to feed on you through prayer that you might be able to speak to us in a way that we hear so loudly and clearly. And then, Lord, we just ask that you would help us to be obedient to what you show us. Lord, help us to truly feed on the Lamb in a way that's life-changing, not only for us, but for those that are around us. So, Lord, bless each and every person who has taken the time to go through this Bible study today. And, Lord, may they draw close to you in a very, very special way as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, folks, again, I want to thank you for joining us. Let me go ahead and tell you what we're going to be looking at and what your reading assignment for this week is and what we'll be looking at next week. This week, I want to encourage you to spend some time in prayer and reading and studying Exodus chapter 14. That's what we're going to look at next week, Exodus chapter 14. And we're going to look at through the Red Sea. You know, we've gotten to that point where the Lord has told his children, here's what you must do. You know, we're going to get to that point where Pharaoh says, okay, I'm going to let you go. And then they get down to the Red Sea and then through that. So we're going to be covering that, Exodus chapter 14, next week. So be familiar with that. And we're looking forward to being able to have you here today. And if you don't have a church home, if you happen to be in the Oak Ridge, North Carolina area, we really want to encourage you to come be with us for worship. Come be a part of our family. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North. You can find us on the website, but if you do, go to www.oakridgecbc.org. And part of the reason why is because there's also a Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. So we want you to make sure that you come by and see us here in Oak Ridge, North Carolina, because they're a little ways apart. But at any rate, our services start at 10:45 on Sunday mornings, and we would certainly love to have you be a part of our worship family this coming Sunday. May God bless you, and I hope to see you Sunday.